Please open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Over the last couple of months, we've looked at some of the different traditions, logistics, pragmatics of prayer. We've looked at the question of why do we end our prayers in Jesus' name? And after textual observation, we realize that it's much more tradition than biblical precedent. There's actually zero biblical precedent for praying in Jesus' name. It's not something bad to do, but it's much more a tradition. We've likewise looked at prayer positions. It is our habit to pray with our heads down, bowed. That is one of dozens of prayer positions in the Bible. And again, not a bad one, but we just also have to realize that there's many others that we could pray position-wise that would be acceptable to God. This evening, I would like to look at one that's going to make the two of those seem non-controversial in nature. And let's look at prayer to Jesus. This is a very, very difficult question to answer. Last year, it was either our September or August home studies, we were looking at the nature of our triune God, that of God being Father, Son, and Spirit. And the question came up, which I was not expecting, of should we pray to Jesus? What ensued was a very passionate conversation about whether or not we can and should pray to Jesus. So here's my question this evening. Should we pray to Jesus? Should we pray to Jesus? So let me tell y'all this. I know this is a controversial topic. There are people I've met on either side that feel very, very passionately. We need to put our emotions to the side and just look to see what the text says, and then really try to understand what's going on here. Let me make just one other presupposition. Anytime we are dealing with any aspect of the Trinity, this is not going to be an easy topic. There is no aspect of the Trinity that is going to be easy to contemplate. Understanding how God can be three but one is in and of itself well beyond our minds can ever fathom. We may be able to grasp some of how this works, but actually grasping the very nature of God being three but one is well beyond our finite minds. Likewise then, whenever we then deal with any specific question of the Trinity, trying to then come to a reasonable answer is going to be very difficult because we're already dealing with something that's beyond our comprehension. So let's just look at the topic. Let's try to have open minds and let's see what the Bible says. So should we pray to Jesus? The first question I think we need to ask is, can we pray to Jesus? I'll tell you a very, very short answer to this. Yes. We see various examples of Scripture in the New Testament of people praying to Jesus. Let me show you one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul speaking about his thorn in the flesh. And look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Here Paul pleads with the Lord. Who is the Lord? Back to chapter 11, verse 31. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus. So whenever he says, I pleaded with the Lord, if I can say that another way, I beseech Jesus in prayer to remove this from me. So Paul himself prayed to Jesus. If you go throughout the book of Acts, there are various examples of both apostolic and non-apostolic disciples praying to Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 24. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. This is in the choosing of Matthias. They prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen. So here they're praying to the Lord. Who is the Lord? Back to chapter 1, verse 6. And when they come together, they ask Jesus, Lord. Look again at verse 21. If you go down to verse 21, hear the Lord Jesus. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 24, whenever they prayed to the Lord, they were indeed praying to Jesus. Acts chapter 7, verse 59, this is Stephen speaking. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. One more, Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. This is here after Jesus has spoken to him, but he responds, Lord. So throughout the book of Acts, there are various examples, and this is just a small subsection of the various examples, of people praying to Jesus. So here then is the question. if there are, and I'll show you a few others here in a minute, if there are biblical examples of people praying to Jesus, why have we almost entirely prayed to the Father? It's, again, very similar to bowing our heads in prayer. It's very similar to saying, in Jesus' name, amen. We do it without thinking. Whenever we address our prayers, we will begin, Father, etc., or our God, if you're a Randy Runner, our gracious Lord Father. When you say, address your prayer like this, you almost always begin with Father. It's very much out of habit, right? But I'm going to argue this is not just a tradition that's been passed down, but praying to the Father indeed has biblical precedent. Look at Matthew chapter 6 with me. This is probably the most famous example of prayer to the Father. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, Our Father, he says, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Jesus prays, Father. And as you go throughout the Gospels, Jesus prays in various scenarios to the Father. Now, that I think makes sense, right? If you look at Matthew 11, Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane, Hebrews 5, 7, he in the days of his flesh through supplications and asked for the Father through prayer. Jesus is not going to pray to himself. Jesus is going to pray to the Father. And I think that is why prayer to the Father is more common in the Gospels. And that's why in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't see prayer to Jesus. Because Jesus is not going to pray to himself. He is going to pray to the Father. I would likewise argue, though, that prayer to the Father is grounded in the nature of our triune God. So look with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So praying to the Father is grounded in the very nature of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That is a theologically packed verse. Through Jesus, we have access in one spirit to the Father. There you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all mentioned within the confines of this text. The reason I think it is good to pray to the Father is it makes us recognize the intricacies of the working of the Trinity. Meaning, Jesus is the one who has given atonement. He is the way. The Father is the God through whom then we approach. And then it is in the Spirit that we're able to approach Him. So praying to the Father is a very good theological and practical exercise. Because what it's arguing for us to do is to understand the very nature of God. Now let me just stop here for 1 second. For those of you who have taught about the Trinity before, let me just have a couple of comments about this. I am afraid that so often when we talk about the Trinity, we are actually talking in polytheistic terms. Let me explain what I mean by that. God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. God is one. As you go throughout the entire Old Testament, God is seen as one. The idea of a Trinity is not in the Old Testament. We may read that through New Testament eyes in the book of Genesis, for example, let us make man in our own image. We may read the Trinity in Isaiah 42, verse 1, where the Father says, I will put my Spirit upon my servant. But according to the Old Testament scriptures, God was one. It is not until you get to the baptism of Jesus that there is a clear manifestation of Father, Son, and Spirit. And we have to be very, very careful that we are not polytheists. That is, people who believe in many gods and say that there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Spirit. There's Father, Son, Spirit, and they're one. Now, exactly how that works, I have no earthly clue. Jeff Prophet gave me the best analogy to this that I've heard. Jeff is a carpenter, he's a father, he's a husband, he's a disciple, he's a deacon. Those are aspects of his identity, but he's still one Jeff. Likewise, there's Father, there's Son, there's Spirit, but it's still one God. The Father, Son, Spirit work together, and they're one God. They never work against one another. And yes, there are different identities of God, but still, there is one God. So likewise, whenever we then approach the Father in prayer, we need to make sure that we are not polytheists in our thinking. That we are simply just thinking, well, yes, there's the Father, and yes, there's the Spirit, and yes, there's the Son, they're three different gods. No, they're one God. Now, they have different roles, they have different purposes, they have different works, but they're still one God. And in and of itself, it's a mystery, it's a confound, it's something we can never wrap our minds around. But I do think it is a good practice for us to pray to the Father. That's what Jesus did. And that, I think, theologically, when you understand the workings of the Father, Son, Spirit together, it then will lead you to pray to the Father. But let me then ask you this question. Can we praise the Son? Now, we're going to take a little bit of a detour, but it's a purposeful detour. Can we praise the Son? Many would say no. Y'all are familiar with the song, Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Son, we love you, we worship and adore you. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. I have met many Christians that will only sing the first verse of that song. They will only say, Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. They will say, we cannot worship the Son. We cannot worship the Spirit. We can only worship the Father. Well, I think if we have a better understanding of praise, it is going to add clarity to our understanding of prayer. Again, if we have a better understanding of praising God, it's going to give us a better clarity in praying to God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, these are four theologically packed verses. You have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Spirit. But I want to make a couple observations about this. If you look at verse 18, we're to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Of course, that piggybacks upon the prophecies of Ezekiel and Isaiah that we are to be filled with the very Spirit of God. Verse 19, we are to make melody with our hearts to the Lord. Who is that? Verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ. So can we praise the Lord? Absolutely. 100% absolutely. We are to praise the Lord. And in the context of this verse, I think what Paul specifically means is praise to Jesus. We should praise Jesus. And it's no surprise, because throughout his earthly and heavenly ministries, Jesus accepted worship. In Matthew 2 at his birth, in Matthew 14 with the disciple, Hebrews chapter 1 and Revelation 5, Jesus accepted worship. And so the conclusion of the matter is, yes, we should worship God, meaning we should worship Father, we should worship Son, and we should worship Spirit. Well, how then does that work? How do you worship the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? And how then do you pray to the Father or the Son or even perhaps the Spirit? Well, I want us to understand this in light of Old Testament passages. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to come back to Ephesians 5 if you want to leave a marker there. But I do want to look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. If you look at verse 5, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. They're talking of Jesus. Verse 7, of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame, a fire. Verse 8, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Now, I do want y'all to do a bit of Bible study here with me. If you look at verse 8, in your cross-reference, you will notice that Hebrews 1:8 is cited from Psalm 45. This is cited from Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So here, a prayer is given to Jesus. This is a prayer of the Old Testament that would have been given to Jesus. I want to make another observation real quick. If you look at Psalm 45, look at Psalm 45 with me. If you look at Psalm 45, this is of the sons of Korah, and it begins in verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Whenever the sons of Korah wrote this, who were they referencing? They were referencing God. They were referencing God. And so then, whenever the Hebrew author draws from Psalm 45 in Hebrews chapter 1, who then is he referencing? He's referencing Jesus, i.e., God. So to whom was the psalmist praying in Psalm 45? Was he praying to God or was he praying to Jesus? Well, that's a hard question. Brother, here's what I want us to understand. This idea of praising Father, Son, Spirit, it is something that we only understand on this side of the cross. On this side of the baptism of Jesus, that side rather of the baptism of Jesus, this wouldn't have even been a question that would have been raised. You think through the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book of prayers and praise that is entitled to God, to Yahweh, to the Lord, to Jehovah. To whom were they entitled? To God. And so then, when you look at various psalms then that are messianic in nature, again, I've argued that the whole Old Testament's messianic in nature, but specific psalms that find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, they then were prayers that are fulfilled in the Son. They're fulfilled in God. Here's what I want us to understand. Whenever we praise, we need to worship God. When we praise, we should worship Father, we should worship Son, and we should worship Spirit. If not, brethren, we are not worshiping God. And I know that's a radical claim, but I think it is one that is grounded in Scripture. We have so much demarcated Father, Son, Spirit, that I am so often afraid that Christians are actually polytheist. No. If we are going to sing praises, let us sing praise to God. If we are going to praise, let us praise God. If we are going to worship, let us worship God. And that then means that we will worship Father, we will worship Son, and we will worship Spirit. But again, let's remember, whenever it comes to prayer, there is an aspect of the intricacies of the Trinity that we have to understand. In one Spirit, Ephesians 2:18, through one Son, we have access to the Father. I don't think it's any coincidence then that Jesus commands us to pray to the Father. So, if you're like me, you may feel as lost as an Easter egg right now. Who then do we pray to? Who do we pray to? In the Old Testament, they prayed to Yahweh. They prayed to God. Do we pray to Yahweh? And if I pray to Yahweh, who then am I addressing? If I pray to Jehovah, to whom am I addressing? If I pray to God, who am I addressing? Do I have to, in my prayer, specify God the Father? Can I pray to God the Son? What about God the Spirit? We're not even going to go there this evening. It's a really good question, though. Well, I want us to look back at Ephesians chapter 5. Again, there is this pattern in the New Testament of generally praying to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. It's patterned after salvation, right? It is through the blood of Christ in the Spirit of God that we have access to the Father. Prayer is modeled after salvation. Again, understand this with me. Prayer is modeled after salvation. Just as it is through the Son, in the Spirit, that we have access to the Father, in prayer, it is through the Son, in the Spirit, that we pray to the Father. Look at Ephesians chapter 5:18 again. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. Here we're giving thanks to God the Father through the Son in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Likewise, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, 18, just one page over, look, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, this is something that I don't think we talk about at all. This is a whole other sermon, but I'm just going to plant a couple seeds. In our spirit study, Daniel came to me a couple months ago, and he said, Ryan, have you noticed Ephesians 6, 18? We are to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? That's a great question. I'm not going to answer it tonight. I'll let you think about it for a while. But we are to pray in the Spirit. Yes, I have my whole life have heard men begin prayers, Father, and I've heard men close prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Where's the Spirit been? Where's the Spirit? Have we forgotten about God? Have we ignored God? We are commanded, we are not just given example, but we are commanded to pray in the Spirit. Do we do it? If not, we better think about how we should, because that is a command from God. So who then do we pray? Well, before we continue, I would make this recommendation. Generally, we should pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. It's patterned after salvation. It is a wonderful thing in our prayers to note. We have access to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. And working together, our one God gives us access to Him. Yes, the Father, Son, Spirit have different works and roles to play, but they're all one God. Well, when then do you see prayer to Jesus? Throughout the Scripture, you find specific prayers to Jesus whenever it is specific requests made about Him. Let me show you what I mean. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He has judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. We'll just stop there. Paul said, I pray, I thank Christ Jesus. Why? Because He has appointed me to His service. Brethren, what is prayer? Prayer is simply addressing God. That's all prayer is. So often we look at prayer as this liturgical, sacramental aspect of the Christian life. It's not that at all. Prayer throughout Scripture is going before God. That's what prayer is. Why here, though, did Paul address the Son and not the Father? Because the Son was the one who spoke to him on the road to Damascus. Likewise, if you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, why did he pray to the Lord Jesus? Because the Lord Jesus had communicated with him about the thorn in the flesh. Likewise, he makes specific requests to the Son, but it's all very purposeful. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, this is a prayer within the book. May our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and all. Likewise, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through that grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work. Finally, chapter 3 and down to verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. I'm going to put a different word in there. May Christ direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. In every situation where we find prayer to Jesus, it is a specific request that is being made of Him. And so it's not just, today I'm going to wake up and pray to the Father. Today I'm going to wake up and pray to the Son. It's May 16th. I think I'm going to pray to the Spirit today. It's May 18th. I don't know what to do today. I'm just going to pray to the Spirit. No. Throughout Scripture, and especially the New Testament, when we have this greater revelation of the Trinity, prayers are generally addressed to the Father, representing then their salvific pattern. But you do have specific prayers to Jesus under the proper circumstances. So can we pray to Jesus? Well, I would argue this. Generally, our prayer should be to the Father. So men, whenever you get up to pray before the congregation, generally it should be to the Father. Men and women, whenever you wake up in the morning and you pray for strength, when you put your head on your pillow and you pray to God for thanks, generally address that to the Father. But just as we can, and not only can, but should praise the Son, I would argue we can pray specifically to Him if we understand why that request is being made. What about during the Lord's Supper? Can we praise the Son in the Lord's Supper? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can we pray to the Son in the Lord's Supper? I would argue why not. We've seen so many examples of praise and prayer to Jesus. And I want to make one more note about this before I close. Yes, I understand it's good to understand different acts of worship. I understand that. But brethren, I'm afraid the reason this topic is so controversial is we have demarcated the different acts of worship. Scripturally, in the book of Psalms, there's not that much of a difference between praise and singing. If you go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 24, they hymned through prayer. In the whole book of Psalms, they hymn through prayer. We likewise are going to praise through hymns, and we are going to praise through prayer. If we stop making these artificial dichotomies and understand that it is praise to God, this question's a whole lot less intimidating. Because just as we assuredly must praise our God, we assuredly must praise the Son. We assuredly must worship Him, and at times that will entail praying to Him, thanking Him, revering Him, worshiping Him, glorifying Him, exalting Him. And that's why I would argue, not only can we, but yes, indeed, there are times that we should pray to Jesus. Get out your songbooks, please. Well, I've gotten to talk for the last 25 minutes. I'm looking forward to the rebuttal after services. No, in all seriousness, I know that this is a difficult question, y'all, and it's one that I've struggled with for a long time. It was my second year at Florida College, so about, 9 years ago now, that one of my brothers began a prayer, "Dear Lord Jesus." And I was sitting there, and I was like, "What? That's sacrilegious." And I honestly just didn't know, can I say amen at the end of this prayer? It just took me so aback. I had never heard this before. And he and I spoke about it afterward, and he was like, well, of course, we see many examples in Scripture of prayer. The Hebrews 1 was one of the examples he showed me. And since then, I had to do a little bit of reevaluation about my own just thoughts about God. And I would argue, really, this comes down to the very understanding of the nature of the Trinity. I've said many times, I don't like that word. I use it as an accommodation because I don't know a better word. But I don't like the word Trinity because, it gives this idea that God's polytheistic. No, God is one. God is one. Yes, the Father, the Son, the Spirit have different works that they do, and praise be to each of them for the work they do, but we have one God. If we understand who God is, We understand his nature. We understand what he's done. We understand his roles. Then these type questions are going to become a whole lot more simple to understand. Yes, there is a mystery that we will never understand. There are so many facets of the Trinity that I will never begin to claim that I understand. But I would say that as I have sought to draw closer to God, I've needed to draw closer to Jesus and I've needed to draw closer to the Spirit. And that's meant I've needed to pray. Now, I intentionally did not talk at all tonight about prayer to the Spirit. Give that one a good thought over for the next few days. Get your mind spinning about that one. Really ask yourself, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It's a good question. It's a really good question. But likewise, take the same basic principles about God, apply those to the Spirit, and those type of questions become a whole lot easier to understand. So, what do we do? What do we do? I think we need to pray. Let's pray together. Our God, our Father, we thank you for your providential hand that has given to us your holy word, that has given to us Jesus, and has given us the Spirit. Father, there is so much about your nature that is beyond our finite minds grasping, and we know that your ways are as high as our ways as the heavens are above the seas. But Father, we pray you give us knowledge, give us understanding, and give us wisdom. Help us to approach these questions with humility and with love and with grace. And help us to draw nearer to you in every facet of our lives. Help us to be improved in prayer. And help us to be more faithful and trusting of you in all ways of our life. We pray all these things through the holy blood of Jesus in the Spirit. Amen. So just as prayer is modeled after salvation, we can come to the Father through the Son, in the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? This mystery that was hidden for thousands of years, God has made known through Jesus Christ. And now we can come to the Father in the Spirit through the Son. If you need to come to Him this very evening, come forward while we stand and sing.